Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, amen.
All right, let's pray a minute. Thank you, mighty God, for your word. Thank you, mighty God, for your plans, your will. We just rejoice with you, Lord. We thank you that we're part of your family. We've been brought into your family, Lord, adopted. And we just overjoyed with that. Lord, take these few minutes and speak into our hearts and minds. Let us not leave here like we came. Let us be changed in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, please.
Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for this church. What a bunch of precious people. All been changed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Well, I was wondering about what to preach this week, and in between Christmas and New Year's, should I preach a Christmas message or should I preach a New Year's message? And I pondered that.
Just preach God's message.
Amen. Amen. Well, I kind of slanted towards New Year's. And I wanted to preach about something that I started a little while back, and that's this series I call I Quit, about the habits that we have and we need to get rid of and stop doing. And so I wanted to discuss another habit. I actually had thought I was going to give you a choice last week, and with my typical fashion, I didn't think about it. So you didn't get a choice. I just decided what you're going to hear this time.
Fair enough.
All right. And I did want to say that so far we've discussed I quit worry and I quit pride. Two very destructive habits for Christians. And today I want to do the third habit in this series, and it's idolatry. And I thought this would be a good one for the new year. Amen. So if you hate this topic, just blame it on the new year, okay? Let's determine, folks, as we go into 2022, that we stop worry, we stop pride, and we stop idolatry. Let's clean up that part of us. And I know God will help us.
Yes.
I know He'll yes. make us strong to do this. And I just think it will be part of this 2022 change that's going to be on our life. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, I want to begin by reviewing some facts about coronavirus. This thing, it first surfaced in a seafood poultry market in Wuhan, China. And that was in December of 2019. There's political discussion about a lot of this, and I don't want to politicize it. There's some things we know and things we really don't know. So starting in December 2019 is when the word received, the word came out that about coronavirus. By the spring of 2020, it impacted every corner of the globe. everywhere. That's one of the things that surprised me about this, because I personally, I never heard of anything touching all corners of the globe. It just, what? You know, it was a shock to me that this stuff traveled that fast and everywhere. Okay, on March 11th, 2020, the U.S. government announced the restriction of travel for 30 days in an attempt to slow the spread of this virus. And a few days later, the president would declare a national emergency, and by the end of March, the Senate would agree on a $2 trillion stimulus package for Americans, the most far-reaching, expensive measure in the history of Congress at that time. Most of our plans for 2020 would look vastly different than what we had expected.
Yes.
Things changed.
Yes.
Amen? And the feelings of loss were very real. Very real. Now, I don't believe that God caused this crisis, but I do believe He's used it to get our attention.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. With worshipers confined to their homes, many people who had never attended a church service started watching online. And the reports are that during this time, there's been tens of thousands of people have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that is phenomenal.
Hallelujah.
That's phenomenal, and there's things we don't hear about because it's one person there, one person there. It's small events that equal a huge event. And I'm so thankful that God has done this. Okay. I think God has also used this time to expose idols in our lives. In a matter of days, potential idols were stripped away because of the virus. Just a matter of days. For instance, the idol of independence. In a short time, the freedom to go where we wanted and to do what we wanted were restricted. What else? Well, what about the idol of academia? Schools and universities across America immediately closed the classroom door. What does that idol do? The idol of money. The economy tanked as businesses barely survived or were forced to shut down, and we saw the stock market drop 35% in less than a month. The idol of money. The idol of sports. Nearly every major sporting event in the United States was suspended or canceled, including the 2020 Olympics. The idol of travel, leisure, and short-term vacation plans became almost non-existent. The idol of entertainment, Hollywood stopped filming, Broadway plays ceased, movie theaters were closed. Disney World and other theme parks closed. Restaurants and bars were reduced to carry out only. The entire entertainment world came to a screeching stop. Then there's the idol of politics. 2020 was an election year. Many states postponed their primaries, and the campaign rallies from both parties were canceled. Then there's the idol of religion. Churches across America closed their doors and instead streamed their services online. The idol of science. Modern medicine struggled to come up with an antidote to fight the virus, and they were unsure how to even help dying patients. Now please understand, folks, there's nothing inherently wrong with any of these things I've just mentioned. Nothing. And yet, while they often garner our affection, we need to understand they cannot ever meet the needs of our destitute heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I love that New Living Translation.
Yes.
He will give you everything you need. Mm-hmm. Listen, we don't think of there being idols in the 21st century, but idolatry is actually a very common problem in our world today. An appropriate definition of an idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything you seek after that only God can give. That's an idol. To shorten that description, we'd say anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. That's an idol. Amen? Paul describes it in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, again in the New Living Translation. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen.
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 Instead of loving God with all their hearts, we love material things. And consequently, our affections get out of order. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yes. Biblically, we call those things idols, but psychologically, we refer to them as addictions or habits. An idol is an addiction or bad habit that you formed in your life. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:2, you know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. If you just simply ignore this habit, not only will it hurt your relationship with God, but it will begin to consume your time, your money, your energy, your affection, and your thought life. Idolatry is a major theme of the Bible. More than 50 of the laws in the first five books of the Bible are aimed at idolatry. It was one of only four sins to which the death penalty was attached. So if idolatry is considered that big of a problem in Scripture, don't you think we should pay attention to the warnings? Amen?
Yes.
While idolatry is spoken of all throughout Scripture, the reference that immediately comes to my mind is when Moses came off the mountain with the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Listen to the first three commandments. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. Number two, you shall make no idols. You shall make no idols. And number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Amen?
Amen?
Folks, he didn't give us these first three commandments because he wants to be the first among many gods. He gave us these commandments because he wants to be the only God in
right.
your life. Amen?
Right.
The only God. God created us to be in relationship with him and him alone. Let me repeat that. God created us to be in relationship with him and him alone.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
I love the way Kyle Eidelman says it in this book, God's at War. God declines to sit atop an organizational flowchart. He is the organization.
Yes.
He's not interested in being president of the board. He is the board. Life doesn't work until everyone else sitting around the table in the boardroom of your heart is fired. Amen? And life doesn't work until everyone else sitting around the table in the boardroom of your heart is fired. He is God, and there are no other applicants for that position. There are no, I love this, there are no partial gods. No partial gods. No honorary gods. No interim gods. No assistance to the regional gods. God is saying this not because he is insecure, but because it's the way of truth in this universe, which is his creation. Only one God owns and operates it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Only one God designed it, and only one God knows how it works. He is the only God who can help us, direct us, satisfy us, and save us. God created us to worship Him and Him alone.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. That's right.
Worship Him and Him alone. While God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the people waiting below were complaining because they thought it was taking too long. They gathered everyone's gold and made a golden calf to worship. When Moses returned and saw their worship of idols, he was so angered at them, he shattered the tablets with the Ten Commandments. Here's the irony of what he did, what they did. Instead of trusting their Creator, they decided to make a God of their own creation. And they were doing this at the very same time God was giving Moses the first commandment. Exodus 20, verse 3, you must not have any other God but me. Wow. Listen, friends, God hates idolatry and is unwilling to share the praise he deserves with another.
Amen.
Amen. He is unwilling to share the praise he deserves with another. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, it says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or to praise or my praise to idols. I will not yield my glory to another. We're the ones that give glory to another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul tells us that we are no longer our own, but we have been bought with a price through Christ's death on the cross.
Amen.
Amen. And yes. Now God expects our full devotion, not a partial, lukewarm commitment. God wants us to be all in when it comes to our relationship with Him.
Yes.
All
yes.
in. The Old Testament includes many references to idolatry. But even as you move into the New Testament, idolatry continues to be a theme. In Colossians 3:5, it says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. They're in there. They're in there. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Idolatry is an issue of the heart. Amen? Paul tells us in that verse that it begins with greed. Greed is this excessive desire for more, more wealth, more possessions, more of anything. It's not uncommon for us to put other things before God in order to fulfill our selfish gratification. Let me give you a couple examples. Think about your cell phone. Some heads come up. According to a study by Rescue Time, most people spend over 3 hours a day on their phones. The top 20% of smartphone users actually spend more than 4.5 hours a day on their phones. On average, people check their phones 58 times during the day. There's little doubt that excessive cell phone use has become a problem in our society. At the end of 2019, Pew Research Center reported that 81% of Americans own smartphones. And over the past 5 years, Google Trends indicates that searches for cell phone addiction have been on the rise. People are realizing that they're addicted to that little box. The dangers of using a cell phone while driving are widely known. Yet people continue to ignore the risk and use their phones. I was thinking when I wrote that, that this little girl got killed right there at Ross Elementary on 518. A guy drove into the back of their car, or a lady did, and she'd been intoxicated and on her cell phone. Killed her, she's 8, I think, wasn't she? About 8 years old. Years ago, when you saw someone swerving down the road, you would think they are drunk. Today, folks, we immediately think they must be on their phone. Cell phone use has become an idol for far too many people.
Yes.
What about the idolatry of sports? In fact, sports just might be the biggest idol in America today. It's hard for anyone to deny the love affair we have with sports. Take the National Football League, for example. Since 1972, the NFL has dominated the playing field as the favorite spectator sports of Americans. In 2018, the NFL brought in roughly $16 billion in revenue in 1 year. $16 billion from television deals, ticket sales, and merchandising. An extreme amount of money changes hands in the sporting business. Now, please understand, folks, I'm not trying to criticize sports or football. I love the game. I love the game. I like to watch the game, right? I'm not trying to criticize. I'm just observing what is happening when we allow it to become the focus of our passion. Listen, fans have paid a lot of money for their seats in the stands. They will be cheering and yelling for 3 hours. Then they get excited if the game goes into overtime. Not only will they put up with the crowds and traffic, but they might even drive an hour or two, a couple hours, so they can get to the stadium earlier. Plus, many of them arrive a couple hours earlier than that, so they can just tailgate with their friends. One pastor said, "My wife and I were late for a 1 p.m. game." Do you suppose the pastor was kind of long-winded on that Sunday or something? No. That's my first thought. The couple's reserved parking spot was about 4 blocks away from the stadium. And it was cold. It was raining. It was extremely windy. And the pastor remarked, "As my wife and I made our way towards the stadium, I couldn't believe I was willing to go through all of that just to watch a game." Then he made this comment, "I wonder how many Christians would go through these same conditions to get to church." Do you get the point? We live in a land where sports in general compete for our attention and our affections. And it's not just football. It could be golf, baseball, basketball, running, biking, NASCAR, drag racing, or any other sporting event. Amen? Mine used to be drag racing. I'd love it. But again, I want you to understand that sports are not the problem. It's only when we allow them to consume our devotion. Consume us. So I'm not saying you have to remove sports from your life. I'm not saying that, folks. Or money, or fame, or the phone. Please don't get rid of your phone. I might want to talk to you. Or you talk to me. We got to admit the problem and then determined to do something about it. Has something else in your life become more important to you than your God? Only you can judge that. You begin by asking yourself a few questions like, where do I spend a lot of my money? Where do I spend a lot of my money? What's the first thing I think of when I wake up in the morning? What would I have a hard time letting go of for an entire month? What do I like to talk about? If your answer is the same to most of these questions, then it's likely that area has become an idol to your life. So consider taking these steps, folks. Step one, work on your relationship with God. Work on your relationship with God. We were created by God to be in fellowship with Him and to worship Him. Within our soul is this God-sized hole or emptiness that is intended to be filled with a relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
However, we have a sin nature, an independent spirit. The flesh wants to go its own way and do its own thing. Amen? And rather than surrender our life to the Lord, we try to fill the emptiness with created things, with things that we believe will satisfy us or give us significance. Amen? When entertainment or other life pursuits replace God, then they have become idols or bad habits in our life. For a short while, they seem to satisfy this void. Short while. But listen, folks, eventually those things will leave us just as empty as we were before. Listen, God created us to worship. And we will worship that which we value the most. Amen. And when fortune, fame, fun or family become what we value the most, we will worship them instead of our God. Should I avoid making wealth, avoid seeking a more promising job or position, avoid family outings, avoid the little league ball games? Of course not. Of course not. Simply mature in your love for the Lord. Choose Him as your number one priority. And put Him back on the throne of your life. The more you love, the more you are in love with God, the more it places other things in its proper perspective and then fills that God-sized vacuum with His presence. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. Amen. Step two, set boundaries. Set boundaries. When I married Bonnie, I didn't know it, but I entered into a covenant relationship with her. I made a commitment before God, my family, my friends, more importantly, my mother-in-law, to be faithful to her, to love and cherish her till death do us part. Amen? I made a promise that there would be no other women in my life except for her.
Right on.
And therefore, I established boundaries so that I would remain faithful to her. But what if I were to ignore those boundaries and decided to have an adulterous affair with someone else? Of course, it would break her heart because I had broken my vow and my commitment to her. Oh, I could argue that this other woman didn't mean so much to me, but I would be missing the point. Bonnie could remind me that I promised there would never be any other women in my life. And even if she were to forgive me, it would take a lot of work to rebuild back to a healthy marriage. I would have to reestablish those boundaries. Well, folks, idolatry is a lot like adultery. I hope you got that. Amen. When I invited Jesus into my life, I entered into a covenant relationship with Him. I promised to be faithful to Him,
yes,
and that there would be no other gods in my life. I established boundaries, and I promised to be all in when it comes to my commitment to Him. But if I were to allow an idol in my life, it would break His heart, because I broke my commitment to be faithful to Him. If I were to argue that this idol was not as important to me as He was, I would again be missing the point, because I promised there would be no other gods in my life. Of course, God is a forgiving God, but I must repent of sin. He must become the priority in my life. Once again, as I reestablish some spiritual discipline, like spending more time with God in word and prayer, spending more time in worship and thanksgiving, to make sure my heart was again focused on Him and totally committed to Him. Reestablishing boundaries is a declaration of my love and commitment to the Lord and to Bonnie. Amen. Reestablishing boundaries is a declaration of my love and commitment to God. I love you, God, with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and strength. And I have established some safeguards to ensure that my central focus is on you. Saints, it is vital that you make a list of all of the boundaries you should establish, so that your relationship with Jesus is always healthy and free of idols. Step 3, prioritize confession and accountability. Prioritize confession and accountability. Find a friend, a pastor, a counselor, someone that you can trust. Ask that person if he or she would be willing to hold you accountable, to be that one who is not afraid to ask you the hard questions. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Once you decide on a trustworthy person with whom you can share, then tell him or her about this idol in your life. Because all of us need someone to help us defeat this habit. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We help each other, folks. If you are accountable to someone, it will make it much easier to break this habit in your life. And step 4, make hard choices. Make hard choices. In step 2, I said the solution is not always to remove the object of our adultery. The solution is to grow in our love for the Lord. Yet I also believe there are times that's just not enough. In other words, no matter how hard you try to shift your devotion from this idol back to the Lord, you will continue to struggle. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told men to gouge out their eye to destroy the idol of lust. Matthew 5:29. So if your eye, even your good eye, you can be blind in one, don't gouge that one out, gouge out your good one. That's pretty serious, God. Pretty serious here, folks. And throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, he doesn't literally mean for you to gouge out your eye, but he expects you to recognize the seriousness of this problem and make the necessary hard choices. Have your friends pulled you away from God? maybe you need some new friends. Has social media become an idol? Perhaps you better close your account. How about lust? Time to place a filter on your internet. Has the accumulation of wealth become an idol? Maybe you need to downsize. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what difficult decision you need to make, but if any area of your life has become more important than your love and devotion to God, then you must make the hard choice. Listen to the example Jesus gave when one tries to worship both God and money. He said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Cannot serve both God and money. Or any other idol. So friends, stop making excuses for it. Be honest with yourself. Name the idol, repent of it, and ask for help. Stop making excuses. Be honest with yourself. Amen? Name the idol, repent of it, and ask for help. Begin this new year of 2022 as a different person. A different person. Worry? What's that? Pride? What's that? Idolatry? What's that? Those habits are all problems from my past. And that's where I intend to lead them.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's thank the Lord for cleansing us of these things, folks, and renewing our love and devotion to Him. Amen. Can we do that? Let's just give Him thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for making me aware of these things and cleansing us of these things and renewing our love and devotion to Him. Let's stand. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing a little chorus. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just give you glory and praise. We thank you, Lord, that we can make a difference in our lives. We can decide what we will allow and what we will not allow. We can decide to trust you or trust ourselves. We can decide to take the steps necessary to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
We can decide to take these habits and defeat them.
Yes.
In our individual lives.
Yes, oh God.
Yes. Lord, reveal to us the things that draw us away from you and the work of Satan in our life. Reveal those things to us, Lord, so that we can do something about it. We can turn to you and we can follow these ideas of the steps we need to take in becoming free. Lord, let this new year be a difference in our life, Lord. Take us from where we are to where you want us to be, Lord. And I thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If Karen will come, we're going to sing "Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him." And hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh come, let us adore Him. Oh come, let us adore Him.
You know, I just believe that's Jesus' verbiage to us. He says, oh, come. Let us adore. He loves your worship. He loves your attention. He loves your prayers to Him. He wants to interact in your life. He wants to give you advice. He wants to keep you from stumbling. The things that we pick up through living in this corrupted old world, He wants to help us get rid of them. You weren't born again to be an adulterer. You weren't born again to be an idolater. It's in the world. It's all around us. I had completely given up on any foul words in my mouth. And I went back to work for 10 weeks. And then all of a sudden, these words, they came in my head. And I could have easily said them. And it's like trying to stop a horse. That horse wants to gallop. And you want it to stand there. Folks, the temptations that are in our world are so real that we succumb to some of them. You may say, oh, I'd never do that. And that's the last time you make that confession, because we will do some of those things. Jesus wants to change us. He wants to change it. And you know, it almost looks like it could be a punishment, but it's for our good. He's not a mean God. He's a loving God. And He's going to help us be better. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Greet one another around you. Give them some hugs. I love y'all. God bless you. Yeah, New Year's service. I want to remind you of that. Remind you to sign up for the t-shirts. Thank you. Oh, man.